Whale, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion. That's going to determine what the future will bring, and I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station. The station you're listening to, they happen to be my views, the views of our guests, and, well, today we're going to be talking with Colonel Daniel Marvin, Lieutenant Colonel Daniel Marvin, who was in the Green Berets and certainly fought in Vietnam and has written a wonderful book called The Expendable Elite. But he was Special Forces, and Special Forces are the best soldiers we have. They're highly trained, highly motivated. They and the SEALs, Delta Force groups, are highly trained, and they're professional killers. I mean, this is what they're trained to do. They're trained to kill, and they're very efficient at it. But you need, in wartime, that's what war is really all about. That's why war is so horrible, because the purpose of a military is to kill people and destroy things and to crush the enemy. Well, of course, in the hands of worthwhile people, military force can be effective and can be a great and noble thing when it's being used to defend our country. But what happens if it isn't being used to defend our country? What happens if evil and wicked people who have a different vision of the world gain control of our government and then can gain control of our military and are able to use the special forces for their own nefarious purposes? I think we saw that in Vietnam. Vietnam was largely a CIA-controlled war. And the CIA has wars going on all throughout the world today. They're running a war in Afghanistan parallel to the military battle that's being fought. They're running a war in Iraq parallel to the military battle that's being fought there. During Vietnam, they ran a war in Laos. You know, there was no open war there, but there was a war going on. And unfortunately, so many of the people that were over there, about 1,000 of them, by my estimation, when, of course, when we pulled out of Vietnam, we just abandoned all those people who were in, many of them working for the CIA and other groups who were actually in Laos, and they were simply abandoned, and 30 years later, they're still slaves over there, just like the boys we left behind in Vietnam, and Kissinger knew they were there, and knows they're still there. We don't want them back. We want to condemn them to a life of slavery. These were American soldiers who went overseas to fight, but they weren't special forces. Special forces are a very, very special breed of soldier, and of course, unfortunately, I believe that they're being controlled by very, very wicked people, not only out within the government, but even within their own organization. I know when Colonel Bo Greitz, you know, was critical of some of the things that were going on, where they set out a program to demonize and destroy him. And anybody who speaks out many times and tells the truth will be demonized and attacked, and they will get all the special forces people, older and retired special forces people, true patriots to our country, who fought for our country, and they will mobilize them to attack and destroy anybody who doesn't go along with the official party line or maybe begins to understand that we've been taken over at the top by people who have a different agenda, and they're not dedicated to America, but to this concept of a new world order and a new world religion. With that as a background, Colonel Marvin, thanks so much for coming on with us on short notice. Colonel Marvin, are you there?
Excuse me?
Go right ahead, Colonel.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, you're doing fine. Go right ahead.
Okay. I feel blessed just to be on your program.
Well, we're always glad to have you. Well, anyway, certainly we were just talking about how the Special Forces organization has tried to demonize you. In fact, they set out to bring a lawsuit against you, didn't they?
Amen, they sure did, because they wanted to silence that book that you mentioned, Expendable Elite.
Right.
Because it tells the truth about the top echelon people who did use us and abuse us and use us against the law, doing illegal operations. And in fact, if anybody does buy the book and read it, they'll learn in there that General Westmoreland himself admitted...
Hold that thought. We'll be right back.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonance. If the resonant frequency force making the glass vibrate is big enough, the size of the vibration will become so large that the glass shatters. Using a similar principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Simple step-by-step instructions using pictures are easy to follow. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms. Eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. 1-866-885-6625.
The war on terrorism, will it be fought overseas or will it affect us here at home? If you are like most folks, you want to be prepared but can't afford an underground shelter. So what do you do? Did you know that you can use your home as a shelter against fallout and biological or chemical attacks? With a little know-how, it's not that difficult. Sheltering in Place, Surviving Acts of Terrorism from Biological, Chemical, and Radioactive Fallout, developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government, gives you easy-to-follow video instructions and walks you step-by-step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. Get this critical video every American needs for only $29 plus shipping. Order by calling New Millennium today at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438. Or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
September 11th, 2001 changed the world, and the world is now realizing that the official story of that infamous day just doesn't make sense. The overwhelming majority of Americans believe that there is a government cover-up, according to a CNN poll. 9/11 in plain sight, the director's cut is a compilation of unaltered news footage and photos from major networks and publications that raises questions that officials dare not ask, let alone answer. The worldwide firestorm of questions raised has forced some into a position of desperation damage control to keep this documentary from being seen or accepted by the masses. Why have these efforts been made to keep you from seeing this documentary and simply asking common sense questions? Find out. You must see 9/11 in plain sight, the director's cut, and share it with as many people as possible. Call 877-817-9829 to order your copy. That's 877-817-9829. Unless these questions are answered honestly, the world could be plunged into a third world war. Stop this madness. Call 877-817-9829 today and order your copy of 9/11 in plain sight, the director's cut.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here, our guest this afternoon, Lieutenant Colonel Dan Marvin. We're talking about his book, The Expendable Elite, and all the efforts that have been made to suppress this book, including a lawsuit being lodged against him, sponsored, apparently, this was actually sponsored by Special Forces, was it? I mean, who put up the money for the lawyers?
Well, that's an interesting point, because one of the things we're trying to prove, which may be very difficult, the Special Forces Association, which is an association of approximately 10,000 retired and active duty Green Berets, actually in their own publication, which is called The Drop, which goes all over the world to Green Berets, they called my book 100% lies. And they offered to, well, they not, didn't offer, they said that they would provide the attorneys and pay all the expenses for a trial against my publisher and myself, which took place in January of this year in Charleston, South Carolina. The interesting thing is the trial was over on the 27th day of January. The men that were there that were on the other side, the plaintiffs, received their monies for the expenses, which there was a lot of expenses. I mean, some of them, one of them had to come from Alaska, I believe. But anyway, they were paid and taken care of. And then we get the spring 2006 issue of the Drop magazine, the Special Forces Association official publication, and it shows their financial report for January, February, March of this year, and not one penny is shown going for the expenses of the trial.
Are you suggesting that maybe this came from some covert government source?
I assume it came from the CIA, who can't be investigated as far as where their funds go. because of the that fact. That's one of the things Kennedy tried to get stopped, and the reason he's dead now. I'll tell you an interesting thing for all of you listeners. In September of 2005, I submitted paperwork to the Office of the Judge Advocate General of the United States Army, asking that General William Westmoreland and Colonel William B. Tuttle, now Colonel Tuttle was the lead plaintiff, and also he was the commanding officer of all Special Forces Green Berets in the 4th Corps of Vietnam, asking that they be investigated for a general court-martial, and I provided them all the evidence they need, including General Westmoreland's own words written in his book, A Soldier Reports, and which is quoted in my book, Expendable Elite. And I gave him all that evidence, and the last thing on it, of course, General Westmoreland died, and now Colonel Tuttle is dead. But before Colonel Tuttle died, I got this, January the 20th, 2006, a letter from the Criminal Law Division of the Office of the Judge Advocate General, signed by a colonel who was the chief of the Criminal Law Division, and she said this, it's a lady, Flora D. Darpino, the information you supplied demonstrates Colonel Tuttle declined to invade or fire into Cambodia based upon lawful military orders from his superiors. Now, I didn't put that part in there. Soldiers are not permitted to disobey lawful orders merely because they disagree with the policies adopted by their superiors. So what she's saying is that they were ordered, General Westmoreland and Colonel Tuttle, by higher headquarters, which would have been the Chief of Staff of the United States Army and the President of the United States, to give the enemy sanctuary in Cambodia. And this is what I'm still trying to get investigated to this day, and that's why it's so important, and I really appreciate your bringing me on the air so that people know and they should demand. I think with Senator Hillary Clinton in and the Democrats in now, and I'm a registered Republican, but the one thing that the Democrats have always done is they've supported me in my fight to get the truth out in about the evil in our government, and we've never had the opportunity in the last 8 years, 6 years, to do anything about it because the Republicans would not let it come to the floor.
Well, I think it's really so important that our listeners understand that Iraq is Vietnam all over again. I mean, Henry Kissinger was the man who from 1968 until 1973, for five long bloody years, kept that war going and eventually settled it in 73 with exactly the same terms that they could have settled it for in 1968, only he wanted to keep the war going. And, of course, if you believe Bob Woodward, and I think there's probably a lot to suggest Woodward's correct, why, of course, Kissinger has been the major architect of our no-win war over there in Iraq. Now, of course, Iraq, Kissinger's saying, oh, we can't win the war over there. And yet, just a short while ago, he was saying the only way out is through victory. And now, suddenly, he's saying, oh, we can't win the war over there. We've just got to talk to everybody and talk to the Syrians and talk to the Iranians. And,
what he's saying, doctors, that we can't win the war militarily, that has got to be done military and diplomatically, and it just cannot be won. Henry Kissinger, by the way, folks that are listening to this program, in 1991, he ordered that Major Foy Van Lee, the man who is my counterpart in Vietnam, who I was working to get into this country through the Western branch of the government agency that helps people get into this country, International Rescue Committee. I was working with a lady in charge of that, and to get Major Lee into this country. Once I found him after 13 years, he was in prison, and Henry Kissinger ordered that he not be allowed in this country, because the only reason I can think of is because he's the only man alive that could swear to the fact, which he did in writing in the court, in the trial in January, that the CIA sent a man named Walter McKim to my camp with a request that we kill the head of the Cambodian government, Cambodian Crown Prince Sihanouk.
And, of course, yeah, most Americans find it difficult to believe that our government would actually have people killing people all over the world. And yet,
Amen. Of course,
time and again, this sort of thing happens. If you haven't read John Perkins' book, it must be a good book, because the State Department has a whole section on how terrible John Perkins' book is and how terrible John Perkins is, and he just doesn't know what's going on. Well, you read his book and decide if they're lying or he's lying. I think they're lying. But he talks about these programs to actually kill or assassinate world leaders. And we find, you know, they assassinated the guy who was there in Pakistan before Musharraf, came into power. And all throughout the world, world leaders, their planes will suddenly explode in midair, or one means or another, they get killed. The man, of course, who led the Islamic terrorist movement, Abdul Azam, suddenly he and all of his two sons were killed so that Osama bin Laden could take over control of this whole radical Islamic movement. And Osama bin Laden had worked, certainly during the Afghan war with the CIA, although they deny it, they were all working together to defeat the Soviets. So things are never as they appear to be.
Right.
And when you have these people out here with unlimited funds...
With
go right ahead.
Hussein over there when he was killing his people. We helped that.
Sure.
It's a darn shame.
Well, I think the people have to realize that nothing is as it appears to be. And
right.
We actually have a book written by a CIA agent who told me, it says in that book, that he never met an Iraqi who did not believe the American government was keeping Saddam Hussein in power. I talked to a missionary from Kurdistan who told me that all of the people up in Kurdistan believe the United States was keeping Saddam in power, right up until we overthrew him.
We've kept Castro in power.
Sure. Absolutely.
That's because his country is a very nice route for drugs to come through for our government.
And he's one of the best enemies money could buy, and a lot of attention is focused on the wicked Fidel Castro.
You got it. It's interesting when you talk about that the CIA uses people like myself and mafia people to kill leaders. They also use them to kill American citizens who are trying to get the truth to the American people, like when I was asked to kill Lieutenant Commander of Navy, U.S. Navy, Lieutenant Commander William Bruce Pitzer. Now, interestingly enough, Dr. Stan, and I believe you know this, we, being Dennis David and myself, have been trying to get before Congress to testify about the Kennedy assassination, the Martin Luther King assassination, and we was deaf ears all the time that the Republicans controlled the Congress, and we're hoping now, and I've coordinate this with Dennis David to push to try and get us in there so we can tell the truth before we get too old to tell the truth.
Amen to that. Well, the last thing they want is for the American people to realize that there is a dark side of our government that goes around killing people, and they get away with it because they're above the law.
You'd be interested in an exchange. Do I have about a minute or two?
Sure, go right ahead.
An exchange. I was the very first person called during the trial in January of this year, and the lead attorney, Bobby Deaver, who also is incidentally the man who incorporated the Special Forces Association years ago, he asked me, he says, you mean that you wrote that book hoping that the CIA would sue you? And I said, that is correct, sir. Right? That's had him set back there for a minute. And he said, why? And I said, well, it's simple, sir. The CIA could only sue me for two things. One is releasing top-secret information about our going into Cambodia and about the assassination plot against Prince Sihanouk. The other thing is that I release, and that's identified in the book as top-secret, throughout the book, wherever it is. And the other thing was to name a CIA operative, Walter McKim, spell it out, that he actually came to my camp with a request that we kill Prince Sihanouk. That's why I want him to sue me, and I told him right in front of the court, it's part of the court record, that I'd be willing to spend some years in prison just to have it come out to the American people and to the world the truth about what our CIA does.
Amen to that. Well, I think it's about time the American people, understand and, of course, get behind those people who are trying to bring the truth out, because when we have an organization like this, no man's life or property or family are safe. We'll be right back here at Genesis.
Some people believe a group of wealthy men control political parties, the American media, and the wealth of our nation. Is this true? Dr. Stanley Monteith spent 40 years studying secret societies and subversive movements. He lived in Africa for 3 years, and when he returned home, he studied the writings of the men who shaped the modern world. His book, Brotherhood of Darkness, identifies the people who control the world and the organizations they created. Dr. Monteith exposes the movement behind Rhodes scholarships, the origin of the Council on Foreign Relations, and the myths surrounding communism. He discusses the goal of all covert organizations, so if you read Brotherhood of Darkness, you will learn a secret that has been passed down through the centuries. When you learn this secret, you will understand what the future holds and what you must do to help preserve our nation. Call and order your copy. 877-300-7645. Only $12.95. That's 877-300-7695.
Hello, folks. Alex Jones here, introducing Prudent Places USA, an interactive CD book that is your premier resource for hard-to-find information. Find out about everything from job migration to evacuation information, such as major bridges in disrepair and FEMA evacuation time studies for coastal cities. Zero in on man-made disaster zones, environmental areas of concern, and natural disaster zones. Find out everything from where to get water in an emergency to geographic income levels. Housing prices, complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on the 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., full-color photographs, 550 high-resolution full-color maps, and detailed information and analysis that you need. Order Prudent Places USA now for only $29, plus shipping, by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. And tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438, or order online at berkeywater.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson, here for the 2007 Red Book. The commodity markets like gold, silver, copper, aluminum, and oil have exploded over the last year. This is a glaring testimony of how quickly the U.S. dollar can be devalued. Many have turned to precious metals to provide a safe haven while increasing the potential profits. Though accumulating precious metals has been a proven method for the storage of wealth, it is important that you understand the market you are getting into. Midas Resources is offering the Red Book and Silver Dollar for only $27.95. The Red Book is the number one best-selling guide to gold and silver coins. Call for your copy today. It's 800-686-2237. If you've already accumulated or plan to get into the precious metals market, you simply must have the Red Book in your library. Call 800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, in herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at www.heartdrop.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822. 928-8822.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, our guest is Colonel Dan Marvin. Colonel Marvin, go right ahead.
I was going to point out something else, too. In May of 1990, a gentleman friend of General Quang Van Dang, who had got into this country, as you well know, the man who rescued all of us and wrote about in my book, Expendable Elite, he had a friend out in California, and I won't mention his name right now. It'll be in the new book coming out probably next year. But he called me because he was had been defrauded by people within our government on a big bank scam. And he gave me all kinds of information, said that General Dang told him that I was the one American he knew that he could trust. So he gave me the information, and I went to the FBI about it. thinking, I knew some of the people in the FBI in Ithaca, New York, and I thought that I could trust them. I gave them the information, and about 2 weeks after I gave them the information, FBI Special Agent Gene Klops came to me in September of 1990 into my shop in Ithaca, New York, and he said this. He said, basically, because he'd taken all that evidence to his headquarters, said, basically, we look into fraud against the government, not fraud by the government. And it turns out that all of these people that I had turned their names in as witnesses and participants in the in this scam, and which involved the Bush banks in Texas and the World Bank and some other organizations, including the CIA, he visited me and he told me that, and then he said this. He said, aren't you afraid that they will put a bomb under your car? And he was talking about the CIA. And I said, well, you don't understand how they work. First of all, the CIA doesn't do any assassinations themselves. They either hire mafia people or Green Berets like myself. And when they went to the mafia, a lot of the people in the mafia, at least in the Boston and New York area, know me, and they would wonder more what I did to my car to keep them from putting a bomb under it. So, no, I didn't worry about that. But that's how intricately these people are tied in to this whole system of evil in our government and why we've got to keep moving to get it straightened out. Hello?
The fact that somebody in the CIA could actually know these things go on and still continue working there, that's amazing to me. Now, for anybody who really doubts that this, we carry a book called Double Cross. It's the story of the CIA and the mafia written together, written by the brother of one of the chief dons, Sam Giancano.
That's a good one. That's
a great book.
That and JFK and Sam.
Right.
Those two books. People should read them and believe them.
Right.
Because that stuff happens. I met with, as you know, with the head of the mafia in the Boston area, and I asked him if they'd, this was just a few months after Kennedy had been killed, and I asked him if he had been invited to be in on the hit, because I knew that it was four men from the mafia that were involved in the hit, because that's what the CIA man told us at Fort Bragg in the spring of 1964. And he said, yes, he said the company did call me. But he said, I told him we don't have no problems with the Kennedys in Massachusetts. So he did not get involved in the assassination.
And, you know, I think
what's
really...
the people they use.
I think it's so interesting that on one hand you have the CIA using the mafia and being involved in drugs. On the other hand, you have the FBI trying to track down the mafia and stop the people who are using drugs. So you have various departments of government working at odds.
That's why the FBI is compartmentalized. I just feel very confident in my mind that very reason is so that one part can do just like whenever myself or anybody like me was given a mission to assassination or terrorism, it would not be from our commander. It would always be from somebody higher up the line. So it was compartmentalized, so I couldn't say I was ordered by so-and-so to do it, who would be my natural commander. It was somebody else, not in the chain of command.
And, you know, it's sort of like people say, well, do you think George Bush was involved with 911? No, he wasn't. That they would never tell the commander-in-chief, you know, about an operation like that was going to kill all those Americans.
That's right.
He obviously knows, and he's covered up the people who are responsible, but he would never have been told ahead of time, because if it ever came out that he was involved with the murder of all those Americans, it would topple the government.
That's right.
So the president is always kept in the dark until afterwards, and he may never be told the whole truth, although he has to be aware of it.
Well, just like Johnson was told about the fact that there would be a hit on Kennedy, but he was not part of it himself.
Sure.
He knew that he might be one of them hit if he didn't go along with it, basically.
Yeah. And he was in the car just behind Kennedy
that day. Right.
Well, we're going to be back in just a moment here with Colonel Daniel Marvin. When we get back, you know, if you have a call, have a question, give us a call at 1-800-259-5791 right here at Genesis.
Copies of the preceding broadcast are available at GCNlive.com or call toll-free 877-300-7645.
According to a recent report by the National Institute of Health, high blood pressure is a major risk factor for heart disease and the chief risk factor for stroke and heart failure. It affects about 50 million Americans. That's one in four adults. Because many people have high blood pressure for years without knowing it, the American Heart Association calls it the silent killer. At ResearchedHerbs.com, we recognize your concern for your well-being. As your online partner in health, we are committed to empowering you with the resources you need to make informed health decisions about high blood pressure. Visit us online at ResearchedHerbs.com to learn more about heart care, the widely researched natural herbal supplement for regulating blood pressure and maintaining optimum heart health. Did you know that the safety and effectiveness of heart care is backed by over 100 clinical trials and experimental studies? Act now. Visit us online at ResearchedHerbs.com or call us at 1-800-845-3841 to start protecting yourself from the silent killer. That's 1-800-845-3841.
Are terrorist cells or prime terror targets located near you? Where are military bases and hazardous waste sites located? How do you find the best area for solar, average rainfalls, fish contamination advisories, and major transportation routes? In the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA, you will find the information you want with over 50 interactive parameters that you control. Find everything from housing prices and taxes to brewing environmental catastrophes. Locate billion-dollar disaster-prone areas, the safest cities, ideal solar locations, and much, much more. Complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of the 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high-resolution, full-color maps, and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis that you need. Get this hard-to-find information by ordering Prudent Places USA now for only $29 plus shipping and handling by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
Hey folks, Alex Jones here with an important question. When was the last time you used pure soap? I mean the hard-to-find kind that's all natural and not full of corrosive toxins and chemicals and detergents that just dry out your skin and have been connected to very serious health problems. Let me tell you something about the Calbin Pure Soap Company. There's a 100% unconditional guarantee on all their wonderful products. They're all natural, they're triple concentrated, they're factory direct, factory owned, and operated since 1947. Earth-friendly pure soaps for bathing, laundry, and kitchen. Try pure soap once and I'll guarantee you'll never use anything else. Now for the first time, Calbin Pure Soap is available factory direct to you and your family. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Call today for a Calbin Soap catalog at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091 or on the web at calbinpuresoap.com.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network. Our guest is Colonel Dan Marvin. And, of course, he's led a fascinating life in the Special Forces. And certainly, I think most of our Special Forces are great men and great patriots. They just don't understand the invisible government. They don't understand the people who really control the government. And their ultimate goal is the destruction of America as a sovereign state, and bringing about this new world order and new world religion. Well, I simply want to let our listeners know that we do carry the book, Expendable and Late, and we'll tell you a little later how to get it from Radio Liberty. We recommend that. We also have the book on, what's the title of the book about the assassination?
Without Smoking Gun.
Without Smoking Gun. We carry both of those books. And, of course, the second book is about the assassination, or presumed assassination, Lieutenant Commander Spitzer. But, right now, Colonel, why don't you get out your website and your telephone number?
Okay. The website is www.expendableelite.com. And the phone number to order a book is 1-800-556. Well, they'll actually order it through you, can't they, Doctor?
Right, sure.
Yeah. So we won't need the phone number then.
All right, fine. So one more time, the website.
It's expendableelite.com. Oh, and please tell them that if they want to order a signed book, they can order it through you, and I will send it to whoever you tell me to.
All right, fine. Well, our telephone number here, if you have a question for the Colonel, 800-259-5791. That's 1-800-259-5791. And, of course, you actually knew at least something about the murder, the assassination of of Martin Luther King. Now, how did you learn about that? Did you learn something about the special forces teams that were there to carry out the job if the professional didn't work? How did you tie into that?
Well, what happened is in 1967, within 7 months after returning from Vietnam, I was called by the Office of Personnel Operations and said, we want you to go to the 46th Special Forces in Thailand. And I'd been asking for a place where there was something going on, you know, where they needed me. And I said, well, what's happening over there? And he said, we can't tell you over the phone. You'll find out when you get there. Well, I got there. Believe it or not, when I went to report to where my office would be, there was a box in front of my desk, and I asked the XO of the Logistical Support Center. I went there to command Logistical Support Center for unconventional operations. I asked him what was in the box, and he said, weapons. I said, weapons? Why are they in the box? And he said, well, Captain So-and-so will be mailing them to his home in Detroit, Michigan. I said, you got to be kidding. They said, well, actually, he's mailed 120 of them so far, different weapons. So I opened the box, and there was an M1D sniper rifle and a couple of M1s and a carbine in there, four weapons. And I stopped the whole situation. I asked for an investigation. The Colonel Bartelt, who's dead now, who commanded all the Green Berets in that area, refused to do an investigation. And I finally got the CID, the Criminal Investigation Department, to do an investigation, but they refused to talk to me officially until a year later when I got back to the States, because they said, if we talk to you now, we're all dead. Now, this is Military Criminal Investigation Division. So, anyway, I took, when I saw the book by William Pepper, Orders to Kill, where he told about about Special Forces being a part of the Martin Luther King assassination, and that they used black men in the Green Berets to infiltrate the black power movements, then I knew why those weapons went to Detroit, Michigan. The captain that was sent in there was a black captain who happened to be also a member of one of the black power organizations. And so I coordinated and gave a copy of that whole almost inch-thick investigation to William Pepper to use in the trial in Memphis, Tennessee, where they actually found our government 70% complicit in the murder of Martin Luther King, and not one major news media reported that. In fact, a friend of mine was there every day of that trial, and the first day, there was representatives, ABC, CBS, NBC, all them people, and one by one, they were called out into the lobby, and they never came back. The only ones left was my friend and a lady reporter there, a local lady.
Well, of course, the thing is that they cannot let the American people know that they killed Martin Luther King, just
That's
like
right.
they killed Bobby Kennedy, like they killed his brother John Kennedy. I mean, how could the American people accept that?
That's
anymore,
right.
And then how could they accept what really happened on 9/11, or what really happened to the Gulf of Tonkin, or what really happened on December 7th, 1941? Right. The American people, you know, this would just get them right out of their, you know, out of their lethargy zone, or either that, or they'd even go further down and just say, well, there's nothing I can do. We're just going to let these things happen. I'm going right. to lead the good life.
Well, I hope your listeners write their congressmen and their senators and demand that they have a hearing, and they include Colonel Dan Marvin and retired Navy Petty Officer, I think he was, Dennis David, and Master Sergeant Jerry Wilsey. Jerry Wilsey is valuable because he's the only Green Beret out of 10,000 of them that's willing to go to Congress with me, and he can report on being a part of the first portable atomic weapons team that I commanded at Fort Bragg, North Carolina in 1964.
Well, you know, the thing is that, you know, all these men that you served with over there in Vietnam, are they still all afraid to talk to you? Are they ashamed of what they did? Are they ashamed of the betrayal?
Well, actually, at first I was going to call the addition to my book, Betrayal, but then a friend of mine who's an old Green Beret call me, and I'd send him a draft of the addition to the book that you've got there. And he said, you shouldn't do that, Dan, because you should remember that the day before you got saved, the day before you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you would have done the same thing because you had an unsworn duty to stick with the Green Berets no matter how evil it was, how right or wrong it was, whatever. You went by what they told you to say, and that's what happened to me at the trial. Those men were the bravest, most qualified Green Berets I'd ever had the opportunity to serve with. I served with them 7 months there in Anfu, and they could not even talk to me. When I tried to reach John Strait, who is my exo, his wife answered the phone. This was years before the trial when they were putting this whole thing together. And she said, I can't let you talk to John, Dan, because if you do, we lose our retirement pay.
Sure. And so what they've done is just frightened all these poor old, older men, you know, who depended upon that.
In the beginning, the Green Berets and the SEAL team and the Rangers and the Delta Force are the very best men in any army in the world, but they've got some evil leadership.
I'm afraid that they do. How tragic that is.
That is tragic.
Well, anyway, of course, I think that it's so important, ladies and gentlemen, that you really get this book and read it. It'll give you tremendous insight into what really happened in Vietnam. Our boys were never allowed to win the war. They could have won the war any time.
That's right.
But we were never allowed to. In fact, one of the stories that Dr. Marvin tells is about the Mekong River. In fact, that we were allowing the communists to move through our lines, through the up the Mekong River with boats loaded with weapons that were going to be used
these
to kill our boys.
Ships.
Tell that story, would you please,
yeah.
Colonel?
Yeah, these are large ships. Like the one I saw was a Lithuanian registered ship, had 10,000 tons on the manifest that said toys. And that's all we could do, honestly, was to look at the manifest. So we sent Captain Jim Miles, who commanded the team that controlled, supposedly, the Mekong River. And by the way, those ships were protected all the way along through that Mekong River into Cambodia by our own people. And he watched them unload 10,000 tons of weapons and ammunition that would then be used to kill our people from across the border in all the areas where we could not shoot back.
And, of course, it's the same thing. Our planes weren't allowed to shoot at the MiG planes if they were
on
the ground and could have been destroyed. They weren't allowed to attack the anti-aircraft batteries, unless they were actually being shot at. They weren't allowed to hit the hydroelectric plants in North Vietnam. Hit the hydroelectric plants, why North Vietnam would have just, that would have gone black and that would have been end of it. Or bomb the dikes. There were so many ways we could have won the war at any time.
The Ho Chi Minh
Trail
could have been obliterated overnight.
Sure.
We know it. General Westmoreland, in his book, The Soldier Reports, even states in there that the only thing he could do against the enemy in Cambodia was to drop leaflets if the wind was right. Now, what kind of a cowardly man was he?
Well, he was a man who sacrificed everything so he could maintain his power, man.
That's right.
But the courageous thing to have done would have been to quit and come out and tell the American people
That's
the
right.
truth.
You got
it. The tragedy is we have so many people within the military now who are not willing to do that. Now, we have some. I'm pretty rather proud of some of our commanders over there and some of the general officers in Iraq who've taken early retirement so they can come forward and tell the truth. And, of course, they're being attacked. They said, you're not supposed to be critical. Well, if they're not critical, who's going to be? And if not now, when?
I just hope and pray that they're all right today after coming out like that. Now, you mentioned Bo Greitz.
Right.
Now, Bo came out and told the truth to Kent Heiner, who wrote the book that you have, Without Smoking Gun, and he admitted that he was one of the men within the Green Beret establishment that trained assassins. Now, once that book was published, and he was part of the Special Forces Association, he would not even talk to me. And his wife said he couldn't talk to me, because he was no longer a part of the effort to bring the truth out. He was part of the effort to hide the truth.
When was that? What year was that?
That would be, I'd have to look.
I mean, 3 or 4 years ago?
Oh, yeah.
It was about that time he came out and attacked people who did shortwave and the Patriot movement.
Right.
And you wonder whatever happened to Bob Wright, because at one time, you know, he really was a great patriot and did a lot for our country.
That's right. Yeah, I've got his, he sent me a signed book, and which would have the date in it. But it was about a year. The book was published that you've got, Without Smoking Gun. It would have been just after that.
All right, fine. Well, you know,
I'm sorry, I don't know it right offhand.
But you know, he was demonized by the special forces, and I talked to people
with
special forces, and they told me, "Oh, well, he was a nut," you know, and because they got all these things from the special forces. Anybody, you know, who tries to expose what's going on is immediately attacked and vilified by the organization, which I think, of course, is controlled by the CIA.
Absolutely, well, or by the Special Operations Command, which is controlled by the CIA. They managed to get most of the documents that I wanted for the trial disappeared, and it was only a very brave woman who disobeyed her full colonels and under the rug got me a couple of things that I needed. By the way, you know, people should know too, especially older people like myself who remember Colonel Maggie Martha Ray. They attacked her viciously during my trial, because she had written the foreword to my book, telling basically that the book was the truth, because she was there in my camp. They crucified her, or tried to, during the trial. And that's a shame, because I don't know of a Green Beret that just didn't love Martha Ray.
Well, no. Is she still alive, or did she pass away?
No, she's dead now. Right.
All right, fine. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question for Colonel Marvin Wire. Telephone number is 1-800-259-5791. That's 1-800-259-5791. And I would comment that Colonel Marvin, of course, ran of tremendous debts, as did his publisher, Chris Milligan. And if you would like to help them pay off some of those debts, Barbara and I have contributed, because we believe in Colonel
Amen.
Marvin. We believe he's, you know, he's deserving of our help. And if you'd like to help him, they've got, how much do you still have to pay off?
We still owe about $90,000.
All right, fine. Well, if you'd like to help, you can either get in touch with Colonel Marvin, or you get in touch with us, and we'll put you in touch with Colonel Marvin. But if we don't stick together, we're all going to hang separately. And Colonel Marvin was put on that front line because they wanted to destroy him. They wanted to get this book withheld, because the last thing we want is for the American people to learn the truth.
That's
about
correct.
The fact that the CIA wanted to use Colonel Marvin and his men to kill the head of state, Prince Sihanouk. And believe me, this has happened many times, and it's going on right today. As we topple government after government, we just toppled the government in Nepal to bring the communists to power there. Why would you do something like that? For the same reason we did it in Cuba, and in Nicaragua, and in Rhodesia, and in South Africa, and in Southwest Africa. You know, they know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want the American people to know what they're doing.
That's right. When I commanded the parachute rigging school at Fort Lee, Virginia, one of the men who I taught, or my instructors taught, to be a parachute rigger was one of the men on the Special Forces. Had two A-teams, 24 men, go into Cuba and work with Castro to put him into power.
Would you mind repeating that? Because I think it's so hard for the American people to realize that we brought Fidel Castro to power. The American Central Intelligence Agency created the best enemy that the CIA could install.
Two Special Forces A-teams, and I knew one of the men that was on one of those A-teams, went into Cuba and worked with Castro to develop the force that took over Cuba from Batista.
And
it was
anybody,
our government that put him in power.
And for anybody who has any question about that, we have an interview with Ambassador Smith, who was the American ambassador to Cuba in 1958 and 59.
Oh,
he tells exactly the same story, how we intentionally brought Fidel Castro to power. And then if you doubt the relationship between Fidel Castro and David Rockefeller's daughter, then you need to get the book, which we do carry. It's entitled Memoirs by David Rockefeller. And, of course, the interview with Ambassador Smith is in the video World Revolution. That's World Revolution. You need to have this information. You need to help us to get it out to others. You need to let people understand that we have created communism in Russia. We're financing communism in China today. You've got to be, you know, an idiot not to see how we're financing the Chinese communists today, pouring billions of dollars in. Citicorp's giving them $3.5 billion for one of the largest banks. And we're keeping Fidel Castro in power.
Yep. It's all the way that they want it. And like you said earlier, it isn't necessarily the President of the United States. It's a group that controls what goes on underneath him.
Amen to that. Well, God bless you, Colonel. Thank you so very much for being
Thank
with
you.
Us.
God
One more
you.
Time, your website. Colonel? Well, it's the ExpendableElite.com. It's the ExpendableElite.com or .org. Well, anyway, God bless. I'll be back in just a minute to wrap up the program here at Radio Liberty.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Black Berkey purification elements are more powerful than any gravity filter element on the market. These awesome elements are used in Berkey purification systems, and they can also be used to upgrade most other gravity filtration systems. They can purify raw, untreated water by removing pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, trihalomethanes, and chemicals such as chlorine, atrazine, styrene, and MTBE. These elements also reduce unwanted heavy metals such as lead, mercury, and aluminum. Unbelievably, they even remove small microparticulate from water like food coloring particles. Yet, they leave in the nutritional minerals that your body needs. Moreover, because they are recleanable, Black Berkey elements are more economical than the standard disposable elements, providing fresh, pure water for less than 2 cents per gallon.
Get a two-pack for only $99 or a four-pack for only $188 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438 or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
For years, you've been hearing about Herbal Healer Academy and how it's remained the leader in effective, alternative, and natural medicine and education. But how can they continue to hold that title for years on end? The answer is high quality and huge selection. Just visit herbalhealer.com and shop online or request a free catalog. You're bound to find the alternative you're looking for. Did you know that Herbal Healer carries the latest, safest, and effective weight loss products? You can also count on Herbal Healer for the largest selection of safe and natural supplements just for children. And don't forget your pets. Herbal Healer even has natural mineral supplements for all your animals, including horses, cows, and birds. Take a peek at their online calendar, and you're sure to find everything you need and maybe something you didn't realize you needed. Visit HerbalHealer.com and don't forget to sign up for the free Herbal Healer newsletter. HerbalHealer.com, working with the power of nature.
Well, Dr. Stan back here, and I just want to mention we do carry Colonel Marvin's book entitled The Expendable Elite. We carry the book Without Smoking Gun. It goes into this. Lieutenant Commander Spitzer, Colonel Marvin, was asked to murder him, and when he didn't take the job, it would appear that somebody else did. You know, there's so many books that we have that will really help you to understand what's going on today. We've actually got about 15 or 18 copies, and these are the last ones we'll probably ever carry, of Kiss the Boys Goodbye, Monica Jensen Stevenson's classic book that was actively suppressed. Pressure was put on the publisher to pull it off the shelves, and I remember going to a bookstore that was there one day and it was gone a week later, and I said, "What happened?" They said, "The publisher asked us to send the books back." Well, of course, they wouldn't distribute the book. Why? Because it talked about the men we abandoned in Vietnam. It talked about the CIA's involvement in drugs. And they can't let the American people know that. Anyway, Monica Jackson Stevenson, the author, got the copyright back, moved to Canada, got it reprinted up there, and they accidentally shredded 5,000 copies of the book. So we don't have any softbound copies at all, but we do have the hardbound copies, and they're available for $21.95. And if you get the four tape set that goes with that, or nearly, that's $22.95. But you get the two of them together for $34.95, which is a great deal to get the four tape set, and you get the book. So if you'd like to get that, we call it the Kiss the Boys Goodbye Special. Why, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We carry Monica's other book, and these are secondhand copies, but they're in good shape. They're paperback. That's Spite House, and I got that book recalled. They sued the publisher and got him to pull all the copies. But we do have the softbound, and we have the four tapes that goes with that. One Man Return. It's the story of Bobby Carwood. It's the story of the sniper teams that were sent out to kill Americans who, fed up with the Vietnam War, it simply they weren't gone on the other side. They were just living out in the Vietnamese community, and they sent sniper teams to kill them. Because, you see, they really do murder American citizens. They can't let you know the truth. They can't let you know that Vietnam was a phony war. We could have won it at any time, and Henry Kissinger wouldn't allow us to win the war. Why? Because he, and, of course, Robert McNamara, at least according to an article we have from West Magazine, were frequent visitors at Marie Strong's occult center in Colorado. It's called La Baca Grande. And I believe Henry Kissinger and Robert Strange McNamara are deeply involved with the dark side of our society. Well, let me just mention, you should get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. And then, of course, you really should get some of the items that we carry. We have some wonderful, wonderful books. One of them is on the Gulf War. We've got the only supply of it, the Gulf War Illness. And it was written by Seymour Hersh. And it's called Against All Enemies by Seymour Hersh. It's the story of the Gulf War Illness and the government cover-up. We've got the ABCs of Culture-ism by Deborah Ray, and the ABCs of Globalism by Deborah Ray. And both of these are simply alphabetically arranged books on the culture war and, of course, on the globalist occult movement that controls America today. And then we've got, of course, a copy of Agenda 21 here in Santa Cruz County, which is a prototype for the entire nation. We have my book, AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic. The AIDS epidemic that's killed over 30 million people worldwide, over half a million in America, another million and a half infected. Totally unnecessary. You need to get my book, AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic. And then, of course, a fascinating book. If you're interested in UFOs and what they really are, it's called Alien Encounters, the Secret Behind the UFO Phenomenon. That's Alien Encounters. We recommend it. What is this? Why, they're demonic beatings. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, there really are demonic beatings out there. And until you understand that there's another dimension and some people can contact it. And sometimes those people from the other dimension, those beings from the other dimension will come here and manifest themselves in various ways. But one of them is those little gray men on the UFOs. We'll be back in just a moment. Remember our number, 1-800-544-8927.
Now you can bring Berkey purification power anywhere with the Sport Berkey filtration bottle. Ideal for sporting games, camping or boating, or Sport Berkey is small enough to store in your glove box, so it's ideal backup for unexpected emergencies like blackouts, floods, or earthquakes. It's simply the best personal water filtration system available. So effective you can drink raw, untreated water from lakes, rivers, and streams. Unlike other sport bottles, the Sport Berkey's patented filter formulation is so powerful it removes cysts, parasites, harmful bacteria, and chemicals like herbicides and pesticides.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
Well, this is Arthur Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests. And, well, today our guest is Josie McDonald, and she's a member of the Independent Party over in Great Britain. And you can look her up on the Internet as I have. But we're going to be talking about genetic foods. Now, in Europe, the people, you know, we do not have the total control over the media that we have here. So people over there understand the disastrous consequences for health as far as the genetic foods are concerned. But here in America, the average person really doesn't understand it at all. The problem is, because of the structure of the European Union, why they're going to force the individual countries, whether the people want it or not, to accept genetic foods. And Josie is on the front lines of this battle to stop that from happening. We've had her on before, but it's a pleasure to have her back again. Thank you so very much for being with us.
Thanks.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about what's happening over there as far as the genetic food situation is concerned.
Last month, we found that the rice that had come in from America was genetically engineered. And all our supermarkets are against GM. They won't stock it. But they found this, and they withdrew all the rice coming in because they didn't want it.
And so what did they do? Did they send it back? They just say, we're not going to take American rice?
Well, they've now said that anything like that has to be tested before it is offloaded from the boat. They don't want anything GM brought into the country. That doesn't altogether put the view of the government. The Blair's official advisor on GM has a biotech company. And that company has paid the Prime Minister several large gifts of money.
In other words, what they're trying to do is bribe the politicians so that they can sell this genetically altered rice. And, of course, there are many, many serious questions. It's never been approved for human consumption, and yet it's been mixed in with the human rice. And this is going to have a devastating effect on the rice. You know, sales in this country and throughout the world, because rice is one of our biggest exports. But what's even more frightening is they're simply paying off government officials in the United States right now to get this cleared without any safety studies at all as far as the health of the American people or people at all, because they're much more interested in profit or maybe even they have a more sinister desire. But the more you think we have to be concerned of is if there's not proof that it's safe, then, of course, why are they experimenting on the American people, and why do they want to push it into Europe? So, do you think you've won this battle for the time being?
No. The companies are still producing, but 50 of our top food producers have banned it, and all our big supermarkets won't touch it at all. They did have at one time ground up maize, and it was going into some of the loaves of bread and things, and we got it stopped. So there's no GM coming into the supermarkets at all.
What about the rest of the European Union?
Well, the rest of the European Union, the commissioner is a Mrs. Fisher-Boel from Sweden. And I sent her a letter detailing all the faults that had cropped up with GM. And she didn't reply. But I've now got five letters from other heads of departments in the European Commission saying that they were pleased I had written.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Arthur Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Josie McDonald, and she's with the Independent Party in Great Britain. And she is certainly one of the leading people working to try to block the introduction of genetic foods into the countries there of Europe, and specifically into the United Kingdom, where she works. Now, the average American, because of the degree of control over the medium, has no idea of the danger of genetically modified foods. What the animal studies have shown, and many of the, for instance, with the pigs, why, of course, they use some of the genetically, or, and I've forgotten whether it was corn, I think it was corn as I remember, and the male pigs all became sterile. Now, if you believe in population control, that's great, but don't you think the people, ought to have the right to know that they may very well be eating things that will make the male sterile? And these studies, certainly on many of the genetic changed and altered foods, are really rather frightening. And so I'm sure you have lots of those studies. Could you tell our listeners here, Josie, what you have found in studying the genetically altered foods and the danger that they would have to your people and to ours?
Well, a lot of them, the GM food, have had BT genes put into them.
All right. What's wrong with the BT gene?
The BT gene can upset the plants, and it's taken from a soil organism, and it's not safe for humans. Now we find out that the department in Newcastle University research has found that with this BT gene, whether it's an animal or a human eating it, it attacks an organ that is a bacteria that helps with the digestion, and it merges with that bacterium, and you've now got another organism in the digestive system which we cannot recognize properly, and we don't know very much about, but we can't trust it.
Oh, so what does it do to human beings if they eat something, products that actually have this new gene in them?
Yes, and it will affect the digestive system.
It really upsets the digestive system. And are there any studies that show that it attacks the organ systems of the individual?
Well, there's a long way to go yet, but I think one of the companies is in trouble, Bayer. It has now sacked 150 of its workers. And
they're the ones who made this modified rice. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course we're talking about the genetically modified foods. And people say, well, what's wrong with them? They just change a few little genes around, and of course what they've really done is they change the whole genetic makeup of our corn. And most of the corn that we consume in the United States is genetically modified, and the same thing is true with the cottonseed oil and the canola oil and the several other things that we have here in the United States that are genetically modified. And now, of course, we have this genetically modified rice that we're producing here in the United States. And of course, even in the fields where it's not genetically modified, it's been pollinated, and now they're growing the genetically modified rice. And a lot of countries throughout the world absolutely refuse to accept it. Why? Because the scientific studies show that it upsets the normal function of the human body. And Bayer Company, which has made this, you say they've actually fired 150 people?
Yes.
All right, fine. Well, certainly this battle goes on in Europe, and Josie was telling us that the European people refuse to eat the genetically modified foods, and most of the major markets over in England, for instance, will not accept it. Here in the United States, you're not even allowed to tell the people that they're eating this, this dangerous substance. I mean, they're not allowed to tell you this is either not genetically modified or certainly that there's genetically modified material there. And the same thing is true with milk or everything else. You're not allowed to tell the American people what's in the food they're eating. Would that be a fair statement?
Well, it worries me. I've got a son who lives in America and two grandsons. And I have told them not to touch it. But I doubt if it's labeled in America, is it?
No.
It has to be labeled in Europe.
All right, fine. Well, they're saying, my producer is saying that some foods here do say a no GMO food used. So I'm glad that at least certain of the packaging will actually say that here in the United States. Now, I remember, of course, that Jeffrey Smith, who's written extensively on this subject here in the United States, he's written a book entitled Seeds of Deception, I think, something of that sort.
Yes.
And actually, he's done an excellent job of talking about all the physiological changes really that that took place in the animals that use these products. So if you're harmful to animals, why are they giving to human beings?
Well, we're fighting it here. We've got groups all over the country. We had two farmers who wanted to grow GM crops, and during the summer all the agricultural shows take place in the different areas, and they turned up at the agricultural show in West Wales, and the farmers beat them up.
The farmers beat them up because they wanted to go ahead and grow.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, the difficulty is, it's one thing to do what you want to do on your farm, but the pollen gets into the next field, and the field after that, and the field of that, and that, and pretty soon you have products that you can't sell. And that's a good way to mark out, though, to destroy the whole agriculture industry.
Yes. Well, we know that the GM maize, the pollen in the right weather, has traveled 135 miles here. And they found another lot of pollen 49 miles out over the North Sea. So all this talk of coexistence, which the European Commission keeps debating, is not a possibility.
Well, of course, isn't the European Union, though, really pushing the GM foods?
No, they're not.
Oh, they're not. Now, is that something because of the work that you did? Or?
I had an invitation to the Friends of the Earth headquarters in Brussels. And there were six of us at the meeting, the head of Friends of the Earth and five countries represented. And the president informed us that he had discovered that the documents on GM showing the detrimental effects were disappearing from the European Commission. And he published that complaint. The ombudsman was called into the commission, and he found that the commission was guilty of hiding the documents showing detrimental effects of GM. And it also declared the European Commission as guilty of maladministration.
In other words, basically what they were doing was concealing or burying these reports because they didn't want, you know, the legislators to know how dangerous these products were. Was that a fair statement?
That they were concealing them.
Concealing them, okay. We would call it here in the States burying them, concealing them. Anyway, hiding them, from the legislators, and certainly hiding them from the people. What do you think motivates them? Do you think that they just want to make money? Or do you think that they really want to do harm, or maybe both?
Well, Monsanto has twice been fined this year for bribery and corruption. And, Monsanto is pushing GM ahead all the time. But we're not trusting it. And Bayer is helping Reading University, who are doing experiments on GM food and using their dairy herd on the agriculture section. And they're feeding these cows on genetically modified food. And the food that's going in has genes from mice and chickens. And I got hold of the head of the Food Standards Agency in London just as he was about to leave a meeting, and I said to him, you must realize that stuff that you're pushing into those dairy cows contains the genes from chickens and mice, and chickens and mice have an entirely different digestive system than the cattle do, so your results, whatever they are going to be absolutely useless. And he walked out and is now head of Oxford University.
Well, now, of course, basically, does this in any way alter the structure of the meat from the cows that people are ingesting?
I should think it would. If it's working on humans with the GM linking up with the digestive system, then I think the same will happen with the cows. What's worrying us at the moment is the big companies making the farm animal feed. There's masses of GM soya coming in. And GM soya can destroy the fertility of males.
Now, do they actually know? Have they actually proven that? We know that there were some studies with the pigs that showed that. They will actually destroy the fertility then of the animals, the male animal.
Yep.
And they want to feed that to us. Well, if you believe in population control, I guess that's all right. But I don't think the average human person living in Great Britain or on the continent would really very much appreciate that.
Well, I'm a retired farmer now, and we used to have a herd of Welsh black cattle. And the Welsh Black Cattle Society has improved in the last 10 years amazingly, producing wonderful animals, perfect conformation, etc. And they have now formed a group for all advertising all organic food and no GM. But the big companies are putting this into the feed, and they hadn't realized that there's a possibility that their bulls, which are selling for thousands of guineas, could be infertile due to this in the food. It might affect the bulls like it does human men.
Now, do we actually have studies that show that it does impact on the fertility of men, of human beings?
Yes.
Could you tell us a little bit about that? I'd read the studies about the pigs and the poor pig farmers who were going out of business because, of course, that they couldn't produce any little piglets. In other words, their male pigs were becoming infertile, and then, of course, now that was the end. As soon as the pigs died off, there were no little pigs coming on.
We published that in our newsletter.
You actually do you have a website that you'd like to put out where people could go?
No, I was getting too many rude messages online, so I've cancelled it.
You're no longer doing your website?
No.
All right, fine.
I put out newsletters to 160 farmers in the country, and they pass it right round the country, so they're all well informed in what's going on. But the government has held consultation lately, and called in the Agriculture Committee and that on GM, and it was absolutely stupid. They just waffled. They didn't come to a conclusion, and they've got nowhere.
Well, I was going to say, is the Blair government really trying to force the people of Great Britain to accept these genetically modified foods?
Yes. He's keeping quiet, but the DEFRA, as it's called, the Department of Agriculture, they are trying quietly to push it, but they're not getting anywhere. Two members running the Ministry of Agriculture have now changed to another department because there's all the scandal of the bribery that's been going on in the government.
You mean, what you talk about is paying off government officials to get through certain legislation?
Yes. They've found that people very rich have been paying Blair and his government several million to get a place in the House of Lords. And instead of having an inquiry in the government, they have called in the police. So there's likely to be quite a scandal.
Well, here in the United States, I would like to say that we have the finest politicians and the finest bureaucrats that money can buy. And what is really so frightening in a nation that's turned its back on God is the fact we have so much corruption at every level of government. What's even more frightening is the people don't seem to be concerned about it, as long as times are good. But think of the implications if they're allowing unpaid, safe food, to be circulated. Well, they are, in fact. Of course, the NutraSweet, the MSG, and so many of the things that you're buying in the stores have deleterious effects, producing pathological obesity and brain tumors and infertility and so much more. And the average American has no idea.
Well, there's been a lot of opposition going on in Europe. Austria declared all its green land away from the mountain area as GM-free, and they were taken to the European Court of Justice. But they haven't given in. And two of us went over. Austria decided to have a big meeting in Vienna. And the Commission decided that it would be rather nice if they met in Vienna and discussed the coexistence of GM and non-GM crops. Well, that's already been done. 4 years ago, I sat for 9 hours in the European Commission opposite the German who was the agriculture minister. And they had geneticists for the 9 hours dealing with coexistence of GM crops, and they couldn't present one system for coexistence. If the GM crop was there, then any other crop that was not GM could be cross-pollinated. And anyhow, they decided that the Commission would come down to Vienna. And two of us travelled 2 days and nights on the train, and we went into the Parliament the first day. The next day, we went along to the building where the Parliament were going to meet, and it was a new circular glass building. And the police surrounded them when they arrived. We weren't allowed to speak to any of the European Commission. And they took them straight inside this glass conference centre straight away. But outside was a huge area. It was full of huge banners, give us back our control, ban GM. They were flying the Austrian flag, the German flag, the Greek flag. We were flying the Union Jack and the Welsh flag. And crowds of people came in from other towns to see this demonstration. But we were grumbling that we would be paying for the commission to have come down and spend 3 days in Vienna and that, when they've got their own conference centre up in Brussels. And the Austrians were very clever. They had built a stage attached to the outside glass wall of the room where the commission were going to meet, and they put two bands there, and they said, play as loud as you can the whole day long. And the commission had to stop their meeting because they couldn't hear themselves speaking.
In other words, they couldn't hear anything because of the loudness of the bands?
That's what?
But what happened when the bands played? Did they actually have to stop the meetings?
Yes. They played as loud as anything without stopping.
I see. Well, anyway, what was the final conclusion of the meeting?
They just gave up.
All right, fine. So basically,
dismembered.
So basically, then there's a tremendous organized opposition, you know, over in Europe to try to preserve the health of the European people. Would that be a fair statement?
Yes. Well, the trouble is that this Richard Fisher Boel, the agriculture commissioner, her husband's a big farmer, and he's in Sweden, and she won't discuss GM, and Sweden is growing GM crops, and we have a feeling that her husband might be connected with Monsanto.
Now, who is this? Is this one of the commissioners?
Yes. She's the agriculture commissioner.
I see, for the European Union?
Yes.
Hold that line, we'll be right back here.
Well, she doesn't reply to letters. She gets another committee to reply.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Josie McDonald, who is working on the substance of genetically modified foods over in Europe. And she was just telling us about some of the meetings that they've had over there, where there's been tremendous opposition, and, of course, people from all over Europe demonstrating to try to keep the genetically modified foods from either coming into their country or being grown in their country. Because once you allow these in, then the pollen spreads and then the whole crops are contaminated. And this is, of course, happening here in the United States. It's happened with whether it be the canola oil or whether it be the corn. Almost 70% of our corn is genetically modified. Whether it be the cotton and the cottonseed oil, and, of course, now the rice. And it may very well end up destroying the rice crop here in America. And the average rice producer is trapped in this system. He doesn't want to grow these genetically modified foods. They say, trust us, we're from the government. Why, you know, you can just grow your crops right next to the field, right next to the genetically modified, and it's not going to cross-pollinate. And they know this pollen will go for hundreds of miles, and they're simply lying to everybody. I wish we had as much opposition to genetically modified foods here in the United States as you have over in Europe.
Well, I informed the head of the Veterinary Commission in Europe, the Europe Commission, and I said, are you doing anything about these meetings on GM? He said, no, because I don't fully understand it. Well, I helped him, and he said, this is not science, it's big business. And that really puts the thing in a nutshell. It's big business.
And of course, they don't care how many people they harm, or how many lives are destroyed, or how many men become infertile. Why, it's great for business.
Well, the one of the companies that has been producing it, the one that's doing the herd of cows in the Reading University, they were connected with the Auschwitz concentration camp during the war, and there were two scientists in the concentration camp told to gather the women together and render them infertile. And what is a GM company now, captured the women and sold them in batches of 150 to the Auschwitz research men.
That was Bayer Company? Or was that, which company was that?
It's a smaller company.
The
one that's just sacked 150 of its men.
Well, that would be Bayer, isn't it? The Bayer Company?
Yes, that's right.
All right,
yes.
Bayer. And, of course, there still is a very, very large pharmaceutical company, but they're, of course, intimately involved, in my understanding, with this genetically modified rice that's been such a disaster for the rice crops here in the United States, because it's gotten mixed in with almost all the rice that's out there, and it's not certified for human consumption. So how are you going to separate the grains of rice that are the genetically modified from the regular ones when you get a package of rice?
Well, they can't, can they? They have buried a lot of it.
I beg your pardon now?
They've buried a lot of it.
Oh, they buried a lot of it, right. Well, anyway, of course, these are very, very real problems over there. Is this having any impact at all upon the cattle industry as such? In other words, are there real problems? You mentioned, of course, that feeding the cows and the beef cattle this genetically modified food. What is it doing to the cows? Do we have any idea?
No, not at the moment. It's they're only just realizing that the animal food has changed. If they want the non-GM food, they've got to go to the small food producers, the big ones with the factories. We have a factory in the town 7 miles from here, and the loads of GM soya are coming in all the time. I've been in touch with the manager, and I said, are you producing any non-GM soya for the animals? Well, we've got one feed, he said, it doesn't have to be labeled GM, because it's got less than 0.9% GM in it.
Now, is this American soy, soy products, soybeans?
It's coming from Argentina.
Coming from Argentina?
Argentina has cleared away masses of the forest and to grow this and export it and get rid of the debts that it has.
All right, fine. So, of course, it's great for Argentina, but, of course, I wonder if they're feeding their own beef cattle on this, or this is primarily for export.
Well, the thing is, the supermarkets here don't want to buy meat that's been fed on GM.
But of course, they realize that the meat over there, so much of the meat is now is being fed on these genetically modified food that they're making for the cattle.
Only some of it. A lot of the farmers are now growing, if they're on a farm where the soil is right for harvesting and that, they can grow maize and stuff and wheat, and they can make their own animal feed.
Paul, we'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest today is Josie McDonald. We're talking about genetically modified foods, and the average American really doesn't understand the implications of this. Oh, if they listen to our programs, alternative radio, they may have some glimpse, but the average American really doesn't understand the implications of the genetically modified food that is really getting into so many of our staple crops and now, of course, into our animals and into our rice and into our corn, and so many of the corn crops we have are genetically modified. About 70% of our corn is genetically modified, and the corn oil and the canola oil, and all of this has a deleterious effect on the health of the animals. So why are we feeding to human beings? And of course, Josie is saying that at least over in Europe, there's an organized opposition, as there is in Great Britain, and many of the politicians are getting paid off, but the people are demanding, of course, that they not be given this, and many of the supermarkets over there are making an issue of just not carrying anything genetically modified. I wonder if we have any food chains over in the United States that would take a stand of that sort. Well,
it's up to the public, you know. Some of the farmers have formed groups, and we pass the information around as it comes in, and Friends of the Earth were the ones that discovered that the European Commission were hiding the documents showing the results of the research on GM crops, but they can't hide it anymore. We've got the address of the ombudsman so that we can make any complaints that we want to put to Europe. But there's a big move now. We've got a new political party that is wanting to get out of Europe, because the European Commission is the dictator of our country now. Our government is just a mouthpiece of that commission.
What you're basically saying is the English government now no longer is a sovereign state, and is subservient to the European Parliament. Would that be
yes.
a fair statement?
I write to the Welsh Assembly and say the farmers of Wales want to ban GM. We don't want it grown here. And the reply comes back from the Welsh Assembly saying it would be illegal under EU regulations to ban GM. Well, when we signed into Europe in 1973, we didn't sign away our governance. It was a trade agreement. But now they've got their fingers on it, and our government is being dominated by the European Commission.
And I really think that this is exactly what's planned here in America and throughout the rest of the world. We'll be right back.
Well, if you look at...
Hold that just a minute. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Josie McDonald, and Josie is simply talking about what's going on in her country and certainly throughout the rest of Europe. And as she's pointing out, that you know, when the people in Europe and specifically in the United Kingdom agreed to go into a free trade pact back in the 1970s, they didn't want to sign away their national sovereignty. But that is exactly what's happened. And by a stealth process, they've established the European Parliament as the ultimate governing body. And, of course, now when the local people in Wales say, well, we don't want to have genetically modified food, they're saying, the government is saying, well, of course, that would be illegal for you not to allow genetically modified foods in. After all, we're a nation of laws, and the European Parliament has determined that they're safe.
No, it's not the Parliament, it's the Commission.
It's the Commission, okay.
Yes, and it's not elected. And this month, the auditors have done their accounts, and they've crushed the accounts for the 10th year in succession. So we're subject to interference from government from that body, which is not elected and has crooked accounts.
And so basically what you're saying is there's a non-elected bureaucracy that's telling the farmers how they'll grow their foods, and really everybody in England, how they're going to lead their lives.
Well, the Union of Family Farmers in France, they have some funds in the bank. Monsanto went to the bank and got hold of their bank account and stole it. And it took months, but the European farmers now took the case to court, and Monsanto had to give them the bank account back to the bank and pay them compensation. I can't think of a safe product that Monsanto has ever produced. It produced the goods for Agent Orange in the Vietnam War. It produced the insecticide. When I was flying home from Nigeria, I was in colonial service. When we got to Heathrow Airport in London, they didn't open the plane straight away because they sprayed us all with against this, these insects in case we'd brought home one of the native insects or something. And for 2 weeks after that, we could hardly breathe. It affected our chest. And with the GM crops, the product, the weed killer that the GM companies are making the farmer buy with his seed is terrible. It causes terrible breathing. It affects the nervous system and the brain. And we were, a few years ago, told that when we were dipping our sheep, we had to put that weed killer in the sheep dip. And government sent a messenger to stand over us as we were dipping the sheep to see that we put it in. And as a result, my husband now can hardly breathe. He has to have inhalers. And Monsanto, when we had the war in the Middle East, went into the tents of the army when they were sitting down for food and sprayed all this insect killer all round the place. And a lot of the army, well, some of them died, and a lot had to be flown home.
So what you're saying is basically they're using a lot of products that are very, very hazardous to the health of the people, and they're never held responsible. And, of course, they lied to the American people for years about Agent Orange. And actually, we have the Veterans Administration reports. They have a special where they're actually following all these people who got Agent Orange and got so deathly ill from it. And that they lied for about almost 30 years about the hazardous effects of Agent Orange, knowing full well how toxic it was. But, of course, they would not, of course, compensate the American veterans or the people in Vietnam whose lives they destroyed using these toxic products.
Mm. Well, we've got Monsanto. Syngenta has persuaded a section of the Indian government to turn all their peasant farmers off the land, and they are going to enlarge the farms and mechanize them and grow GM. And there's 20,000 peasant farmers turned off. That's Syngenta. And then, of course, there is the background with Auschwitz of the other. They're the three main companies.
And now, of course, are they going to compensate the peasants over there in India for taking their land, or are they just going to take it?
We haven't heard. I met them. Six of the women farmers did the farming there, and they helped each other. They only had 4 acres each, but they never ran short of food, and they were very happy. And they came over to our parliament to beg us to help them. And we then found out that a member of the present government had arranged to give them the company and the government of that area £11 million.
Is Monsanto involved in that as well?
Yes.
And I think what our listeners really do understand is that we're seeing a situation where the great corporations, people like Monsanto, are working very close with government officials, and you have a corporate government agreement situation. You have basically corporate fascism. Corporate state, and this is what's happening increasingly throughout the world as the corporations are getting larger and larger, and with total disrespect and unconcern for individual freedom, are buying the politicians and buying their bureaucracies and increasing their control over every aspect of our lives. And you're seeing this really not only in Europe but in other nations as well.
Well, the scientific advisor to the president in America is connected to Monsanto, and so is their agriculture minister.
Well, of course, I'm sure many of these people would be very glad to get a small stipend or maybe even a large stipend. And so often what happens is, you know, they serve in government, and then, of course, they leave government and they go to work for the very corporations that they supposedly were regulating before. And what you see when you see these gigantic corporations is they use the power of government to prevent any competition. They use the power of government to prevent opposition to what they're doing, even if it's dangerous to the health of the people. As, of course, happened with bringing NutraSweet onto the market back in 1980s. Of course, that was cereal, but Monsanto eventually did buy up the rights to aspartame, knowing full well that it produces, it's carcinogenic, and it has a disastrous effect, producing pathological obesity and, of course, infertility problems and so many, many physical problems, but they really don't care.
Well, some years ago, Monsanto brought out this injection into dairy cows. They gave a lecture to the vets and farmers in the town in Carmarthen here, and their chief research person said this wonderful stuff would double the milk yield. You injected the cow fortnightly, and we didn't fall for it, and we all got up on our feet and they threw us out. And I took that up, and I got hold of the research papers on that BST that they produced, and I found 32 effects on the cow, and the milk was carcinogenic.
And of course, this
and I took it to the head of the veterinary commission and the European Commission.
And of course, this is the recombinant bovine growth hormone that is actually used so extensively here in the United States. And, you know, certainly the companies that do not use the recombinant growth hormone wanted to label their milk saying, we don't have it in there, and they weren't allowed to. Because the government says, oh, there's nothing to worry about. And there is. Now, what about the carcinogenic effect of the milk that is made with recombinant bovine growth hormone?
If you drink that as your milk supply all the time, you can eventually get growth in the digestive system. Cancer.
You get, in other words, intestinal cancer?
Yes.
And has this been proven? Is it in animals or in humans
yes.
as well?
Yes, and in animals.
Humans and animals.
Yes.
Well, then why are they allowing that over here in the United States?
Well, we had meetings, five meetings, with the European Commission. It was a different commission then. And the Dutch and the French joined me. And we put the research forward and got it banned. And that week I got a phone call from Ottawa from a person in charge of food safety, and he said, could we help them to ban it in Canada? So they called a special meeting of their research party who were working on things like this in Canada, and they banned it.
So it's been banned in Canada and pretty well banned in Great Britain. And what about on the continent? Is it pretty well banned in continent?
Oh, yes, it's banned on the continent. It was being manufactured in Germany.
Well, I think American people would be glad to know that it is not banned here in the United States. And knowing full well all of the complications, it is being used extensively here. And you have to ask yourself, why would they be doing that if they're really interested in the health of the American people?
Yep. It's money, money, money.
Well, I think that it's certainly, I'm sure many of our politicians, many of our bureaucrats are not above taking a small or even a large bribe, for that matter, as we've seen recently. And, of course, the Jack Abrahoff scandal we had here in the United States is only really the tip of the iceberg, I'm sure. And the fact he got off for 4 or 5 years, you know, in prison, I think 5 years in prison, and some of the people he bribed, like Congressman Duke Cunningham, who I have no sympathy for, he got 10 years. But why would the briber get lost in a lot less sentence than the bribee? So anyway, of course, but basically it happens when you have people with no moral foundation in positions of power, they're going to misuse that power. And that is why the founding fathers of America wanted to limit the power of government. And of course, is there any way, I don't know whether we could bring lawsuits against Monsanto, but I think that
they have been fined twice this year.
What were they fined for?
Bribery and corruption.
Bribery and corruption. Well, you call it bribery and corruption over here. Here we just call it politics.
I had another person in Colonial Service, an Irishman, and we were setting up an agriculture college when part of Cameroon was British Cameroon, and we set it up with a farm, and teachers came in for a year's course, and they set up, went back and set up school farms, and they could sell the vegetables in the village, and with the profit improve the equipment they've got in the native schools. And one of them was keeping the students working, with pupils working on it, and he was pocketing the money, and I found out and stopped a lot of his salary. And when we moved out of the colonies, he became the first Prime Minister of Cameroon. And I phoned the office of the Agriculture Minister and said, is Monsanto pestering you? He said, yes, how do you know? I said, they're going around the world doing it. He said, we don't understand GM, and we don't know what to do, and they are pestering us every day. So I said, would you like me to send you all the details on the dangers of the genetically modified food? He said, yes. And he got it, and he phoned me, and he said, Monsanto has gone, got rid of it.
But of course, this American-based corporation is going all over the world pushing these genetically modified foods that they know are going to have a terrible, damaging effect on the mind, on minds and bodies of people. So, and we are responsible for what our corporations do. Men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. And I think it's time people got the information. We've got a great four-tape set on genetically modified foods. We've got a book on GMOs. Beware of GMOs. So if you'd like to get our four-tape set or the small, easy-to-read book, understand the danger of what's going on. Now, Josie, do you have any information that people, our listeners, would be able to get? Because I know you have information on all these various subjects. How can they get hold of the information you have?
Well, we can send some of it to you.
I'm sorry, what?
We could send some of it to you.
If you could, I would really appreciate it, and then we could make it available to our listeners.
Yes. Some of the Far East countries have pulled out of GM. They've banned it, and Japan is looking into it as well.
And so here, everybody in the world is concerned about it, except here in the United States, where it's being simply... I mean, we're being told there's absolutely nothing to worry about. And either we're right and the whole world is wrong, or the rest of the world is right and they're simply destroying the health of our people.
Well, this rice that had not been stopped, it had been tested and found that it was genetically engineered, but they tried to hide it. They knew it. They'd tested it and found it was wrong. They got it over here.
Well, now, can you tell us any of the deleterious effects of this genetically engineered rice? They've actually been studied on animals, and what did they find?
I don't know. I haven't got hold of the research paper on it.
Well, actually, of course, actually Jeffrey Smith here has, and it's actually posted on the website newsreviews.com, and just look up Jeffrey Smith for any of our listeners that like to read about the genetically engineered rice. And of course, I just read that article a couple of days ago, and there are all sorts of health hazards with this genetically engineered rice. It's contaminated the entire rice crop in America. It's going to have disastrous effects not only on the American people, but upon our ability to export rice, which is one of our largest exports across the world.
Well, it is. It's absolutely frightening. But the World Trade Organization are pushing this a lot, you know. They're interfering in meetings.
In other words, they're telling countries, you can't do what you want to because you've joined our trade organization, and we're going to tell you what to do. Isn't that right?
Yes.
And, of course, that's what's wrong with, of course, the North American community of the Security and Prosperity Partnership that George Bush has signed and agreed to without the consent of Congress, that will destroy the sovereignty of our nation just as they've destroyed the sovereignty of the European countries. And they lied to the European people. And they're lying to the American people. If you doubt it, go to the Commerce Department website, www.spp.gov, spp.gov. And, of course, they will tell you there's nothing wrong with this. But then go to Dr. Corsi's website, go to the Minuteman website and the Judicial Watch website, and read all of the papers that they got under the FOIA request, Freedom of Information, and you'll find out that, of course, they are proceeding very rapidly to create, set up commissions that will regulate every aspect of society. Non-governmental, I should say non-elected commissions, a massive bureaucracy that will control the freedom of the American people. And while we send American boys overseas to fight and bleed and suffer and die in Iraq and, of course, in Afghanistan, fighting for freedom for the people in that area.
The people in this country are flaming mad over this, with the soldiers going out there, and we're right against the war.
Well, of course, we're against the war, too. At least we feel that we're losing our freedom here at home as they create a massive bureaucracy that will control Canada and Mexico and the United States. And the average American has no idea.
Well,
Hold that thought for just a moment. Go right ahead. Go ahead.
Germany produced a new drug. I don't know what disease it was meant to tackle, but they wanted some people that would let them try the drug. And four people came forward. One of them was a New Zealand student who needed money to pay for college. So they injected these chaps, and within a matter of less than an hour, the heads were swelling right out. And then they went unconscious. And they've been terribly ill, and I don't think we've heard any more about the student. He was getting worse and worse. And the university in southern Australia got hold of this with the drug it had put in it. And they found that genetically modified human genes and mice genes had been mixed up with the drug.
Well, unfortunately, they experiment on our people, but they experiment on our military as well, and that's really what's so unconscionable. And the military never knows when they're being experimented on, and they have no means, of course, to say, I'm not going to take that shot. And when you're in the military, you do what you're told, even if your health will never be the same again.
Well, the world is in an uproar now, isn't it, with fighting and killing.
And I fear it's just going to get worse. I think it's only a matter of time before we're at war with Iran. And the average American doesn't want it, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how they vote. There is an elite who run our country and your country, chosen because they work in concert, the Anglo-American establishment. Irrespective of what the people want, they have their own agenda. You got a minute to wrap up the program. What thought would you like to leave with our listeners?
Well, I hope that they all wake up and realize that if their food is not safe to eat, then they need to take action against it.
Amen to that. I certainly agree with you. And you're speaking now of the specifically genetically modified foods, and this is certain types of rice. This is certainly almost the whole rice crop is now contaminated. But so much of the corn, canola, cottonseed, and the staples, they've genetically modified them, and they have disastrous impact on the health of the people. Joseph McDonald, thank you so very much for being with us, and thank you for every thing you're doing over there in Europe to try to get the truth out about the dangers of GMO.
Best of luck. Fight back.
Amen to that. Well, if we had everybody fighting as hard as you were, why we wouldn't have any problems here.
I'll be bringing it up in the House of Commons tomorrow. We have a meeting of the Green Group and some others, and the head of the medical committee.
God bless. We're out of time. Bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and if you'd like to know more about genetically modified foods, we have a little book. It's called GMOs. You know, beware of GMOs. Inexpensive, easy to read, and then we, of course, carry a 4-tape set on genetically modified food, and you need to learn about this subject. You need to learn about so many of the other terrible things that they're doing to have hazards to our health. You need to understand that the American Medical Association, the American Dental Association, are led by people who are telling you that fluoride is safe, and yet if you read the scientific studies, which we have in our syllabus, The Hidden Agenda, they will tell you that fluoride is poisoning our people, reducing the testosterone levels in men, and the sperm count, the sperm motility, and lowering the intelligence. And we have a wonderful new DVD that we're going to be introducing. Dr. Kennedy has put together, and you'll actually see the difference in the Chinese children in the area, of course, where they have the fluoridated water and the unfluoridated water. They know it lowers intelligence and makes the people much more willing to just go along. If you'd like to get our four-tape set on water fluoridation, but let me specifically suggest the new DVD on water fluoridation by Dr. Kennedy. And we have an older DVD on water fluoridation as well, but the new one, we ought to get both of them. And then, of course, we have our syllabus and our talk called The Hidden Agenda. And then Chris Bryson's wonderful book, The Fluoride Deception, where you'll find out how they spent hundreds of millions of dollars on a massive propaganda campaign to sell the American people on water fluoridation because it's going to help children's teeth. And yet, if you look at the statistics in fluoridated and non-fluoridated areas, there's not a bit of difference, and fluoride acts only if you swish it around your mouth. The reason that fluoridated toothpaste works is because it's such an excellent bactericidal agent. It kills the bacterium. It's an excellent pesticide. It kills rats. It's an excellent poison for killing human beings. And yet we're putting it in the drinking water. I wonder why. You need to learn about aspartame if you'd like to get our four-tape set on aspartame, our books on excitotoxins, the taste it kills, or Aspartame, the Forgotten Epidemic. This is a book that's a couple of inches thick. It's really the Bible on this. And it actually increases diabetes, and yet, of course, so many doctors are prescribing NutraSweet to their diabetics because it gives them a sweet taste. And yet it's a disaster as far as its physiological effect. And the fact that most doctors don't realize this is simply a reflection of the degree of control that exists over what the American people think. You need to get our four-tape sets on aspartame. You need to get the two books, Excitotoxins, the Taste It Kills, and Aspartame, the Forgotten Epidemic. And then, of course, we have a video. It's called Sweet Misery. And then we have a new one by Christie it's called, you want to get her second DVD, the name actually escapes me right at the moment, but it actually has interviews with, of all people, Jeffrey Smith talking about genetically modified food. It's primarily about the dangers of aspartame, but it's, of course, just ask for Christie Breitweiser's, I believe it, Brinkley. A new DVD on aspartame, and we'll get it for you. And then, of course, we do hope also you want to get the material on the thimerosal injections that are in the influenza vaccine. We have got a great new VHS, and it's on influenza vaccine. And, of course, what it does to children, it's given to 6-month-old children with a toxic dose of thimerosal. It's given to pregnant women in the first trimester of pregnancy, where it'll do the maximum damage. And, of course, it has a terrible damage on the elderly. It doesn't do any good. It increases Alzheimer's disease. Why would they be doing something like that? If you'd like to get a copy of Dr. Osbach's excellent paper that he has, why, we'd be glad to provide that for you. And then we ask you to pray for America, to pray for Radio Liberty. And of course, once again, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
with news. On the Information Radio Network, I'm Laura Lee Shull. Iran has invited the presidents of Iraq and neighboring Syria to a weekend summit to look at the ways to curb violence in Iraq. Steve Hurst is in Baghdad.
Certainly with Iraq's neighbors both east and west becoming involved in an attempt to solve the violence problem here, the obvious issues that are to be addressed is the involvement of the Iranians on the Shiite side of the conflict in Iraq and the Syrians on the Sunni side of the conflict.
He says Syria could play a key role in ending unrest in Iraq.
Many of the high officials of Saddam Hussein's regime fled to Syria after the U.S.-led invasion and are believed to be very deeply involved in organizing the Sunni insurgency that has been fighting both U.S. troops here and has conducted very bloody, violent attacks on the Shiite.